I'm Nikki Strong. This is VOA 1.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Dan Friedel reports on how this summer has been the hottest on record. Gina Bennett has a story on India displacing poor people ahead of the G20 meeting. Brian Lin has this week's technology report on China's government-approved chatbots. Later, Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins present the English lesson of the day. But first, here is Dan Friedel.
The World Meteorological Organization, WMO, says Earth just had its hottest summer ever in the Northern Hemisphere. Summer ends on September 22nd this year in the world's northern half. Last month was the hottest August ever recorded with modern equipment since 1979. It was also the second hottest month ever measured, behind only July 2023. The WMO and the European Climate Service Copernicus made the announcement Wednesday. August was about 1.5 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial averages. That is the limit world leaders have said the world must not pass. Scientists, however, are more concerned about temperature increases over many years and not just a few months. So far, Copernicus said 2023 has been the second hottest year that it has recorded, behind only 2016. But the University of Maine's Climate Reanalyzer, a website, reported that daily September temperatures are higher than those recorded for the same period in earlier years. The WMO also said the world's oceans were the hottest ever recorded at nearly 21 degrees Celsius. Water covers more than 70% of the Earth's surface. The dog days of summer are not just barking, they are biting. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said in a statement, "Dog days of summer is an expression used to describe the time of hot and humid weather during the summer. The expression might have come from ancient Greece, when extreme heat was said to drive both dogs and humans insane." Scientists blame the heat on the burning of coal, oil, and natural gas, and the added influence from El Niño for the warming climate. El Niño is a temporary warming of the southern Pacific Ocean that affects weather worldwide. The weather event changes weather around the world, and even more so in its second year. Climatologist Andrew Weaver was not surprised by the numbers. He said, "Governments have not taken global warming seriously enough." He expressed concern that the public will forget the issue when temperatures fall again. "It's time for global leaders to start telling the truth," said Weaver, who is a professor at the School of Earth and Ocean Sciences at the University of Victoria in Canada. "We will not limit warming to 1.5 Celsius. We will not limit warming to 2.0 Celsius. It's all hands on deck now to prevent 3.0 Celsius global warming." Copernicus Climate Change Service Director Carlo Buontempo said, "The high temperatures were not only new extremes, but continuing record-breaking conditions. While the world's air and oceans were setting records for heat, Antarctica continued to set records for low amounts of sea ice," the WMO, the United Nations Weather Agency, said. "Antarctic sea ice extent was literally off the charts, and the global sea surface temperature was once again at a new record," WMO's Secretary General Petteri Talas said in a statement. Talas added, "It is worth noting that this is happening before we see the full warming impact of the El Nino event." I'm Dan Friedel.
India has changed the look of its capital, New Delhi, substantially in preparation for a meeting of international leaders this week. The two-day meeting of the Group of 20, or G20, opens Saturday. The Indian government spent about $120 million on the New Delhi project. Prime Minister Narendra Modi called it a beautification process. But many of the city's poor say that process destroyed homes and small businesses, leaving them displaced and without a way to make money. They say they feel erased, treated like the many dogs and monkeys removed from neighborhoods in the city. About 20 million people live in New Delhi. India's total population is 1.4 billion. Since January, hundreds of houses and small roadside businesses have been destroyed, displacing thousands of people. Dozens of poor neighborhoods called shanty towns were crushed to the ground. In many cases, residents did not receive timely warnings about the planned destruction. Officials say they carried out the demolitions against illegal properties. Rights activists and the displaced citizens say the destruction has pushed thousands more into homelessness. Now, New Delhi roads are newly smooth and paths are brightly lit. The city's buildings have fresh paint and colorful flowers are everywhere. The G20 includes the world's 19 wealthiest countries and the European Union. The leaders' meeting, or summit, will take place at a new conference center near the famous India Gate Monument. Similar shanty towns were also destroyed in other Indian cities where lower-level G20 meetings are taking place. In July, a report by a rights activist group found that preparations for the G20 summit resulted in the displacement of nearly 300,000 people. Many were from neighborhoods where diplomats were expected to visit for G20 events. The report also said the government destroyed at least 25 shanty towns and night shelters to establish parks in their place. And it said the government offered no shelters for the newly homeless. Abdul Shakil is with the activist group Save Colony Forum. He said people's lives are being destroyed to better the city's appearance. The money used for G20 is taxpayers' money. Everyone pays the tax, he said, including those made homeless by the demolitions. Rika Devi lost her home in the project. She appealed to the government to save her house. She offered to provide documents to prove that generations of her family lived in the same house for almost 100 years. The government refused to consider the papers and destroyed Devi's home. I'm Gina Bennett.
Several Chinese companies have launched government-approved artificial intelligence, AI, chatbots to the public. The launches included chatbots from major technology companies as well as several smaller organizations. The companies include Baidu and SenseTime, an AI company based in Hong Kong. The releases are seen as an attempt by the Chinese government to approve homegrown AI offerings in an effort to effectively compete with American-based developers. Unlike other countries, China requires companies to provide security plans and receive clearance before releasing products to the general public. The Chinese chatbots are similar to the ChatGPT system. ChatGPT was introduced by Microsoft-backed OpenAI late last year. ChatGPT and other so-called chatbots have demonstrated the ability to lead human-like discussions and produce complex writing based on short written commands. Such tools are also known as generative AI or large language models. Baidu, China's major online search provider, said in a recent statement that its chatbot, called ErnieBot, was now fully available to the public. SenseTime released a similar statement announcing the launch of its SenseChat chatbot. Chinese media reported a total of 11 companies had received approvals from the government. These included TikTok owner ByteDance and media company Tencent Holdings. Those companies did not release information about their AI plans. Baidu's chief executive is Robin Lee. Lee recently said that by making ErnieBot widely available, Baidu will be able to collect large amounts of valuable, real-world human feedback from users. The data, Lee said, would be used to further improve the chatbot. Being the first to market in China is considered important in the country's highly competitive internet industry. Baidu's Ernie Bot rose to the top of the free app group on Apple's App Store in China immediately after the company's announcement. I think the ones that got approved have an early mover advantage to be able to fine-tune their product faster than competitors, said Kai Wong, an industry expert at Morningstar, an investing research group. The approvals were widely expected after China published a set of temporary rules last month aimed at covering chatbot products meant for the public. In the past, Chinese companies were only permitted to carry out small public tests of AI products. But with the new rules, companies widened their AI offerings and have included more product elements and expanded marketing efforts. Government approval is not needed for Chinese products targeting businesses. Sean Yang is with the U.S.-based business advisory company Blue Lotus Capital Advisors. He said the Chinese government's latest move to approve AI products could cause consolidation in the industry. Many people were rushing into the large language model business, Yang said. But the industry may soon consolidate. Only those with data and tech capability will be able to push forward. Reporters from the French press agency AFP carried out tests on the Ernie bot. The chatbot easily answered general questions such as, "What is the capital of China?" and "Do you have any hobbies?" But on some sensitive subjects, ErnieBot did not give such clear answers. For example, AFP asked the chatbot to provide information on China's bloody crackdown on pro-democracy protesters at Beijing's Tiananmen Square in 1989. Ernie Bot answered, "Let's change the subject and start again." Tiananmen is an especially sensitive subject in China. The government blocks online information and discussion about the event. When asked about Taiwan, the self-ruling island that China claims as its territory, the Ernie Bot offered a longer answer. Taiwan is part of the sacred territory of the People's Republic of China, it said. The chatbot added, "China's sovereignty and territorial integrity cannot be violated or divided." Then the Ernie Bot added, "Let's talk about something else." I'm Brian Lynn.
Now, Brian Lynn joins me to talk more about his technology report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Of course, Dan. Thanks for having me.
This week, you looked at a series of new AI chatbots recently released in China. Let's look at some vocabulary words used in the report that might be new to English learners.
Sure. So first off, we can take a look at the word feedback. A basic definition of this noun would be information or opinions given by someone about what they think about a particular subject, product, etc. Feedback can be either positive or negative, and one example of the word would be written comments a teacher gives a student about their schoolwork.
And how about the term fine-tune?
Yes, this is a pretty good one to discuss. It's a combination of two words joined by a hyphen. In the report, it's used to describe the process companies go through while trying to further improve or perfect certain products. So fine-tune, used as a verb, generally means to make small, final changes to something.
Great. Thanks for answering my questions, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dan.
Is Anna Mateo.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Welcome to the part of the broadcast where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Today, we're going to use some examples from Let's Learn English to show how native speakers pronounce words when they are talking quickly. This is very important for understanding spoken English.
And it's important for learning to sound more like an advanced speaker of English.
That's right. And this is something you can listen for in many episodes of Let's Learn English.
Let's get started. What are we going to listen for first, Jill?
Whoa, slow down, Andrew. Can you ask that again a little bit slower?
Okay, sorry. I said, what are we going to listen for first, Jill?
Andrew, your question gives a perfect example. We are going to listen to the difference between slower and faster speech when we put together the words what and are. We are going to listen to some examples from Lesson 7 of Let's Learn English. Andrew, can you explain what happens to Anna in Lesson 7?
In Lesson 7, it is Anna's first day at work, and she is excited to meet people. She also wants to know what they are doing. So she asks them, "What are you doing?" However, she causes some problems by accident. Let's listen as Anna meets Anne. Anne is busy writing when Anna meets her.
Hi there, I'm Anna.
Hi Anna, I'm Anne.
Nice to meet you. What are you doing?
I'm writing.
You are writing. You are writing a lot. Oh dear.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. Really.
Please stop. Please.
Sorry.
Next, Anna says hi to Jonathan, who is busy recording his show. Anna has already met Jonathan at her apartment building.
And people all around the world are waiting to hear news about the next president.
Jonathan, hi. Remember me? I live in your building.
Hi, Anna.
What are you doing?
I am doing my show.
Oh, sorry. Are you recording?
Yes, and now I have to record again.
Sorry. Have a good show.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I think Anna is going to say, "I'm sorry," a lot in this episode.
Yes, she is. But let's compare the way she asked the question, "What are you doing?" in our two examples. Here's the first one.
Hi there, I'm Anna.
Hi Anna, I'm Anne.
Nice to meet you. What are you doing?
And here is the second example.
Hi Anna.
What are you doing?
You can hear that Anna says, "What are you doing?" a little slower in the second example than in the first. Let's listen to the examples again, but only to the question itself.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
You can hear that Anna said it faster in the first example.
But still not as fast as you said it, Andrew, near the beginning of our lesson.
Let's rewind and hear how I said it. What are we going to listen for first, Jill? I did say it faster. So we actually have three examples: not fast, a little fast, and really fast.
In your example, the words what and are get combined into one: water.
Water, water, water. It almost sounds like water.
Yeah, that's right. But instead of wa for water, it's wa for water. And here's how our listeners can learn more about this. On the webpage for Let's Learn English Lesson 7, you can scroll down and click on the pronunciation practice video. Starting 55 seconds into the video, you can hear another example of the difference between slow and fast speech for saying the two words what and are.
That's right. And in the first part of the pronunciation practice video, you can hear another important aspect of fast speech. Many times, the ing at the end of words gets shortened to just the sound in. So if Anna were talking even faster, she would say, "What are you doing?"
I have an idea. Let's listen to how the pronunciation practice video from Lesson 7 explains this.
Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're doing. Let's hear it now.
In the present continuous tense, verbs end in ing. In careful speech, Americans pronounce the G at the end of the verb. However, in fast speech, many Americans do not pronounce the G at the end of the verb. The result sounds like this.
Writin.
Doin.
Readin.
Here is an example.
Careful speech.
I am reading a book.
Fast speech.
I'm reading a book.
Those are good examples. And the pronunciation practice video in Lesson 9 gives another useful example of how native speakers put words together quickly.
Is it about answering yes-no questions?
Yes, it is. Or maybe I should say, yes, it is.
Let's hear it.
When Americans answer a yes or no question with yes, we sometimes say the words with no break. The sounds blend together. Here's an example. Listen.
Is it sunny today?
Yes, it is sunny.
We write it like this.
Yes, it is.
We say it like this.
Yes, it is.
So those three words, yes, it is, can sound like one word.
That's right. And I think people learning English should pay careful attention to the differences between fast and slow speech. That might help them train their ears to better understand fast English.
And, of course, they should take short phrases like, "What are you doing?" and simply practice repeating them faster and faster until it feels natural.
It's like if you want to learn to run fast, well, at some point, you just have to try running fast.
That's true. And the more you do it, the better you'll get.
We have many more English lessons coming your way. So keep listening and exploring all of the programs on VOA Learning English. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.